Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
If you have not yet heard, and hopefully it'll be made available to you today, prophecy. God says he does nothing. He does nothing unless he reveals it to someone first, which people that can hear him, that he's trained up to be able to hear him, we call them prophets. And the purpose that they hear it is so not so they can not tell you what's going on. I mean, that's kind of useless, but so they can hear clearly. And then they can tell you what they perceive God is saying and what the destiny is and, you know, what's about to take place. And he says that they're put up like watchmen on the wall. Ezekiel 33.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Like watchmen on the wall. And they have to warn when they see something coming towards a people, a storm that God has fashioned. Mm-hmm. Then you warn the people, you warn them. Mm-hmm. And long story short, and you can hear more about this, and we talk about it continually, but you just need another context. If they don't warn you, they suffer. If they do warn you, you either are blessed or you suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, but to be right before God, they have no choice but to say, you know, what God said. So, you know, somebody once said, you know, well, you don't need to be saying that kind of stuff. And it's like, well, what, it's God saying it. What do you do with that? You know, you got to say that. You got to, you know. And so I'm looking around and observing rapid fulfillment of the prophetic word giving. And if you haven't yet, you can go to VFNTV and you can watch it or listen to, you know, is America under God's judgment? Just looking at the facts, you know, and looking at the word of God where you can see how God does things. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can learn the ways of God by watching how God responds to his people and to a world and to a nation. So you can say, hey, this is what he did here. This is what he expected the people to do. The people didn't do it. So this happened, but eventually the people did do it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's like 40 years in that statement.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's really good in regards to almost like a courtroom presentation where you can draw your own conclusions from the word of God in your time of prayer by just saying, okay, this is what God says. Okay, there's the law. There's the commandment. Secondly, and here's the evidence. This is what's taking place. Then the question is, you know, is that happening? Is that actually happening in our nation? And if it isn't, then you stop there. But if it is, I mean, just like any courtroom, you want to go further and find out, because there's three phases of God judging a nation. He's so merciful. You know, how many times have we just said, that's it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if God was like that, I wouldn't be here. Mm. And, you know, Pat wouldn't have been here either.
Definitely not.
No.
Me neither.
Well, I don't know.
No.
You're pretty
perfect.
No.
I'm perfect.
Every hair's in place.
And so, and you'll find, this is what you're going to find out when you listen, and you'll hear, you need to hear the word in the context of it, because I'm just briefing over it, that this first phase of judgment, and it's not the kind of judgment, it's kind of a, you think about a judge on the bench in America that was formed on Judeo-Christian values, which means on redemption. And so it's about correction. It's not about destruction or destroying someone's life. You know, so they call it a correction facility. We call it jail and prison. But the subtitle of the whole thing, it's called corrections. The whole thing is corrections, which means we're going to correct their behavior. We believe that if they serve 3 years in prison under instruction and go through these particular programs while they're in the correction facility, then they'll come out a corrected man or a corrected woman. It's called corrections. But isn't that a beautiful nation that thinks that way? But we've turned it into mindsets. We've taken it away from corrections, and now we look at it as confinement. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody stands up and says, listen, we need to help these people learn how to read, get jobs, and somebody says, well, I'm not going to help them get a job because they did such and such. Like, that's the reason probably why they ended up doing such and such, because they were in a particular environment that didn't allow them to progress. And if we're Christians, and we love God, and if we're Americans based on the Judeo-Christian value and what has been laid out in our laws, we want God is a God of redemption.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we need to be able to think about, and he said, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. And, you know, the people who didn't, he says, when were you in prison? Well, understand, whatever we do to the least of these of God's, we do to him.
Right.
And so don't think about it, you know, say, well, oh my goodness, we're under judgment. It's that kind of judgment. It's the kind of judgment that a judge would say, yeah, you need a couple years of correction.
Mm.
Yeah, you need to go through something.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, you know, hopefully correction will take place. But if it doesn't take place when the first phase of judgment is brought out upon us or individually, me or you or whatever, then there's a next phase of judgment. But the first phase of judgment, we could have listened to the judge and said, you know I failed to acknowledge you in my life, and I was very ungrateful. And I know right now that's manifested in a lot of sexual deviant behavior in my life and bondages to things I thought would never happen. But Lord, I'm sorry. This is Romans chapter 1, is it not?
Yeah.
He says, then I'll turn you over to sexual lust and all that kind of stuff and the degrading of your bodies. And then you say, I'm going to begin to acknowledge God. If 97% of people who profess to be Christians, who go to church at least every 2 weeks, are robbing from God, with the they're not tithing according mm-hmm. to George Barna, then that means we're not acknowledging that God gave us this increase, that he's the one that's blessed us and gave us this business, this job, this house, this car, and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you acknowledge it or not, that's where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says they failed to acknowledge God. They failed to acknowledge God.
Right.
And that's happening. It's like not only is this this aggressive push to be able to bring anything that would actually represent God that would help people acknowledge God. And then they begin to worship things instead of God. Hello, shopping network. I mean, come on. I mean, how many people measure their success based on their things? And how many people that are Christians envy people who have more things than them? But they're not hungry for a life for somebody who has more of God than them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's the total opposite. And so that's a harvest. That's a harvest. The first phase of judgment came on because we failed to acknowledge God and to be grateful. How many people's not grateful? It's like any American anywhere, if our poorest American, find the poorest American in America, and that man or that woman, or even potentially that child,
mm-hmm.
is richer. I'm not saying their life's better or anything like that. I'm just saying they're richer. Statistics say this, that they're richer than 80% of the world.
Mm.
80% of 7 billion people, basically. I mean, you're in the upper 20 percentile of wealth. And it's like, we can't be grateful.
Right.
But it's the spirit in the land, how much complaining is like, you know. You got a pizza delivered to your door. I mean, food's coming to your door now. I mean, America was originally shocked that you had drive-thrus. You could pull up to the side of a building and they cut a hole in the window and threw the food out the window in your car. That was a big deal.
Right.
It was just a big deal in China when Kentucky Fried Chicken opened up. They would actually pull up to the drive-thru, get the chicken, go around, park their car, then come in the restaurant and eat it. They just didn't know how this whole thing worked, you know, and they had to teach them how to do all that. Now we get food delivered to our door. And we go, this is 2 degrees colder than I like it.
Mm.
You know? We get food delivered to our door.
Right.
To our door. I mean, if you're a pizza person, you know, if you're in a bigger city, you get a better selection.
Oh, yeah.
But let me, there is not a lot of selection.
Apparently too big a selection.
Oh.
That didn't go unnoticed. Yeah.
And we complain about, we're just not grateful. And it's just, dear God, forgive us for not being grateful. And then because of that, then a harvest happens. God says, so then I turned them over to this. And so that means it's a byproduct of being ungrateful and failing to acknowledge God. And then we begin to yell at our harvest. Look at those guys. You know, it's like, wait a minute. We're the ones that were ungrateful and failed to acknowledge God. This happened because we failed to acknowledge God and weren't grateful. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy. It's like, oh my goodness, deception is this. And this great deception has fallen in the land. It is so much deception. Imagine, you know, deception is water and you're in an ocean. I mean, it's hard not, I mean, you got to pay close attention because you're always wet.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go, this ain't right. This just ain't right. Even if it's you got to say, this is just not right. God help me. And so if you do A and B happens because of A, but then you're yelling at B, why are you acting this way? And what's going on? It's like, or even in your own life, what's going on? I don't know what's going on with me. It couldn't be that I'm robbing God and failing to acknowledge him and agreeing with the people that are taking the Ten Commandments down and voting people into office who don't have the values of God in their heart. It couldn't be that. Mm-mm, it couldn't be that I complain when I have a pantry full of groceries and a job that takes care of me and that I'm richer than 80% of the people in the world. And of course, if you, by the way, aren't the poorest person, you're probably richer than the top 5% of the world. And could it be that instead of me? And you know what I'm saying? So we're yelling at, I mean, it's sort of like a kernel of corn going into the ground, growing into this full stalk of corn with ears of corn and the seed yelling at the corn.
Hmm.
I mean, it's the harvest of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this. You know, for example, Egypt could be under God's judgment. Egypt could be under God's judgment, but it doesn't mean the church is going to falter.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the same thing. That's important. Kind of hard for Americans to get, a lot of Americans, Christians to get that God can deal with a nation and bless his people in the nation he's dealing with.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
And so I'm not saying that. And we only know in part and prophesy in part. But what I am saying is that things are being fulfilled. And no, it's not looking good. And if you hadn't heard, you know, is America's on her sickbed, you need to hear that. But know this, that we serve a God that heals. Mm-hmm. But a nation can be dealt with and disciplined. And the church could just thrive. As a matter of fact, that pretty much will be the result of it, is the church already thrived. Now, it won't necessarily thrive in the way the Rome mindset the church was operating in prior to that, obviously, because that's why it ended up that way. But don't think it's going to be father filtered.
Mm-hmm.
If a God who loves you and loves the one who's not yet accepted him and wants them to know about him. So he's doing it in a way that if we listen, if we survive, you know, dealing with letting go of the things that really was irrelevant, the hay, wood, and stubble, then it can be good. So I'm not speaking something negative and to the point. I mean, you think about it. If you have a child, and if you love that child, you're going to bring discipline to that child. And it's not anything good about it. Nobody enjoys discipline at the time. But in the end, it works holiness in the church's life. And it works, you know, a productive, fruitful child in society.
Mm-hmm.
And so you wouldn't look at that as a negative thing. I mean, the enemy's really messed up discipline in what it means that we're talking about corrections and all that earlier. But Romans chapter 1 talks about these three phases of judgment. And at any moment when we're in the first phase, we can repent. Okay, for every 10 commandment that was taken down, we're going to put 10 up. You know?
Mm-hmm.
For every cross that was taken down, we're going to put 10 up, you know? And not only that, we're actually going to read them and know them and by God's grace, begin to apply them in our life and try to live that. We're going to live by God's values in our life. I mean, that's repentance in the context of that. Because today we have forgiveness of sins. We can repent and God will forgive us. Men may not forgive you, but God will forgive you. And but if we don't deal with that, and this is what he says in the first phase of judgment when he's talking about it in Romans. This is in the New Testament, by the way. So the old covenant that's people right. who said that couldn't be. It's like, well, let's, this is the New Testament. This is to the Church of Rome.
N.T.
N.T. Mm. He says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, once our mind goes off into dark areas and it's just like, what are you doing with your life? And it's amazing if you ask somebody, you know, why are they doing what they're doing? Majority of people really couldn't give you a clear answer at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm the type of person that's like, I can only do that for so long before I go mm-hmm. like, this is not productive. This is not productive. You know, if I don't want anything to happen at the end of the exertion of my energy, I'm just not going to exert the energy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'll just sit there for all that and still get the same. You know, if I can accomplish the same thing, why not sit there with a glass of iced tea and look at the sun coming up or something? And he says, Their foolish hearts became darkened. Although they claim to be wise, and as anybody claims to be wise, it's today's generation, you know, it's professors and leaders, but their fruit says, you're not wise. Some of the things that you're doing, and the wisdom that rejects Christ is the most ignorant wisdom that one could ever imagine, the wisdom of man.
Right.
Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, birds, animals, and reptiles. In other words, they exchanged reality for an image, something that makes it look like something. And by the way, if you look at if you take a camera and you take a picture of somebody, you can look at that picture down the road and you can go, wow, that just brings back good memories. And it was really easy to go, you know, that's a picture of the person. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't sit there and talk to the pitcher.
Right.
Hey, pitcher, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. So good to see you, Susan. So good to see you, Jim. You know, type of thing. You don't talk. You're like, that's stupid. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then if you start giving credit to that image and start saying, you know, that and saying that it means more than just a picture of that situation, you can begin to have wrong thoughts towards that. And say, you know, I want that car, you know, I want that business and or that person or whatever. And all of a sudden now he says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like. And what that picture is something that looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. It's just not the real thing. And so you have to tell yourself because it will do things in your mind and experience because it is an image of the real thing. That it will cause things to respond in your life. Like you can watch a movie and you go through all these emotions as if it was really, really happening. I mean, you're sad, you're happy, and you just go on this roller coaster of these feelings because it triggered off how God's designed you to be. But this is the whole thing, though. It wasn't real. It was image. Mm-hmm. It was image made to look like. And I'm not speaking against movies or nothing. But you need to understand, don't give that validity like it is something.
Right.
Mm.
Put it in its place. It's just a picture on your counter, on your phone now. Everybody's got, you know, it's all things about taking pictures with phones. It's just a picture. It's just a picture. Another example is where we exchange actual relationships for digital ones where you have your, quote, Facebook friends or something like that, and all of a sudden, we've exchanged true relationship for images made to look like we had relationships. And people, mm-hmm. I mean, they are like dogmatic of saying, these are my friends.
Right.
You know, and so you talk to one of their images in reality.
Right.
And they go, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. But when you talk to the person who had a relationship with those images and that person's Facebook, they talk like they know everything about that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, they're like pilfering people's lives with their finger. Amber says, they're stalking people on Facebook. That's what they're doing. They're stalking people's lives. And I guess they would be, because if you never knew the person, you know. And the thing is, it's just, but you got to be able, I'm not saying wrong or right here. I'm just saying perspective that if you make an image that's not real to be the real thing in your heart, then it's become wrong. Image is made to look like. And it's more difficult to have authentic, real relationships. That's why so many people don't have them. That's why marriages are ending in divorce. That's why everything's being fragmented, because it costs you to have a relationship with other people. And so that's the first phase of judgment. It begins because those things were happening. He says, this is what God says. Therefore, God gave them over. So it's God. It's God that says, this happened. So then I'm going to give them over. I'm going to give them over. As a matter of fact, join me in the extra hour, because I'm going to talk about this, because you're going to really find out that some of the things that we're seeing today is things that God's turned us over to. Now, don't realize it's not like over in the context of God's wanting to destroy us. It's just like, aha, we need to repent and begin to acknowledge God and quit exchanging reality for images made to look like reality. Mm-hmm. And begin to have authentic relationship with people and begin to love God, love others, and lead others to the same. We've been talking about asking the question, you know, is America under God's judgment, to begin to refresh ourselves? And you can see the whole thing. We're just having a conversation about what you can see at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and you can watch or listen to it. And it's just answering the questions, you know, laying it out like we would in a courtroom, the evidence, present the evidence. What does the law say? What is the evidence? Has it happened already? And I was talking about the first phase of judgment, and the first phase is a judgment, if you missed it, was if you fail to acknowledge God and begin to exchange reality for images made to look like reality, and then begin to worship those images, which means worth, those are worth more to me than reality is, what God has given to me, then he says, well, then he turns us over, and it's God that turns us over. And I believe I'm just going to talk about this first phase of judgment, and you can go hear the rest of it at VFN TV, because I wanted to tell you what's going on right now at God's News Behind the News, but we have to begin to see on every side, we're seeing the fulfillment of all this. And, you know, I'm like Josiah saying, Lord, would you spare us? Mm. And it may seem kind of selfish, but the thing is that we can win more people. We can do more work being free than under captivity. But what happens is in the first phase of judgment, Romans chapter 1, you know, when we fail to acknowledge God and be grateful and exchange reality for images made to look like, in verse 24, he says, so therefore God, because of this, therefore God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. I mean, see the transitions happen right there where, okay, this was going on. Therefore, this is what the judge says. The judge says, okay, this is what I'm going to turn you over to. And it's for the degrading of the body, not the destruction of the soul. Mm. And it's discipline. Consider hardship as discipline. God's treating us as a son. In any moment, I mean, just even the threat like Nineveh of this thing about to happen, we can say, God, forgive us. You're right. We've sinned. Dear God, forgive us. And we can begin to do what we weren't doing, which is that's just repentance. And then all of a sudden it just stops. Hmm. It just stops. But there's two other phases of judgment that obviously, if you look around and just if you're opened up to begin to look around, obviously the first phase of judgment, the discipline that has come our way to turn us back to him has already begun to happen. And then it escalates, by the way. If we don't respond to this situation, then it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And there is an eventual outcome where God, the Spirit of God does not always contend with men. All of a sudden, God just says, the end.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Even to a nation, he'll just go, boom, it's over.
Wow.
And, you know, Rome fell in a day, they said. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at all of a sudden where one day in Egypt, you had the president of Egypt.
Morsi.
Not Morsi, but his predecessor.
Mubarak.
Yeah, Mubarak was president, and one day he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Morsi. And then all of a sudden, it's like, one day Morsi's president. And one day he wasn't.
That's right.
We're no different. You know, God loves Egyptians as much as he loves Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably shocker to you. That's shocker to a lot of people. And they have they're blindsided. You know, they don't have, they don't, prideful. God loves the Egyptian people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the context of that, that can happen to us as much, you know, why are we any different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we do what God says don't do, why would he not say in a day the nation could come down? And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing two things go on, as I said earlier in the first hour, that no matter what happens to men's kingdoms, God's kingdom expands and stands. So this is not what's going to happen to the church per se. This is just what's going to happen. It may be happening to what we perceive as the church, but to the church itself, it'll live, it'll thrive, it'll expand. As a matter of fact, the fear of the Lord will spread, and it'll probably be pretty awesome.
Yeah, right.
But God just turns that nation over, and it just progresses. If we don't turn, then it goes to a second phase, and if the second phase doesn't, the discipline doesn't happen, doesn't turn us back and correct us, then it goes to the third phase, and it's just like, hey, pay attention. You got it. If you have not yet heard it, go to, you're going to be surprised how far along in the phases that we're in and how close we are. How close we are if the church does not rise up and begin to be a watchman on the wall and prophesy and begin to speak out the truth. And even David said, listen, my bones were being crushed and that, you know, my sin was ever before me. And he said, if you'll cleanse me with hyssop, if you'll prepare me, cleanse me, then, and renew my spirit, he says, then I'll teach other people your way. Teach other people your ways, which means, you know, let's deal with ourselves first and understand that doesn't disqualify you to be able to tell other people. It actually qualifies you to begin to now tell everybody, hey, this is God's way. Let's walk in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Let's walk in God's way. And so, but I see a huge storm. I see a huge storm being fashioned against America. I just see it. I can't help. I mean, I don't want to see it. I avoid trying to look at it. You know, I don't, but you hear, it's like, it's just being fashioned in so many different ways. It's being fashioned. It's like, you know, and this is what America does. What America used to do. When America goes to war, we don't just kind of like, you know, fire an arrow first and then work our way up to a pistol and then a shotgun. You know, we went in there, we would go in there like boom, just everything.
Shocking
we'd come in from every angle to make sure that if this is our goal, this is our objective, we're going to meet our objective.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a vast array of things happening in the theater of war that were all of a sudden going to be enacted, that was going to take the adversary by surprise and bring, there's going to be so much confusion there. They weren't going to be able to get together with their commanders or whatever. And everybody's going to be, some people are going to be bought out, you know, and I mean, we're seeing that happen right now, you know, being bought out and saying, I'll give you this kind of money if you'll turn on Hussein, for example. And we did all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, it just happens like, the mother of all bombs, everything starts coming in. And that's the way war is done. Well, now if you could see what was about to happen, if you could see it, then you would have seen the very first plan. You would have seen some things gathering around. You would have seen some spies. You would have seen this. You would have seen that. And so if you could see it all happening, then you're going to get that sense, hey, there's something not right. You've got people who don't like us, who don't want us to stand, who is not for America and for God and for the Constitution and all that, that they're surrounding us. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about. When you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you're seeing those things that other people get caught by surprise by.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called a prophet. They can see that. But the reason why God reveals it is so you can hear it and like Nineveh just say, you know what? Hey, God, I'm sorry. God, we're wrong. And it's going to be a big shift because we've just been real prideful. You know, we've been real self-reliant and we've allowed people, we vote. The reason why people are in the 530 some odd people who are in Washington, D.C., who the 300 million blame for everything, were there because the 300 million voted for them and put them there. So it's not, how could it be their fault if you voted for them to go there? It's so ridiculous. It's the government by the people and for the people. We have to take ownership for where we are. We are Josiah. And so here's the news report today. I mean, the news report today that in regards to our embassies, you know, our embassy got attacked in Libya, and we lost our ambassador and some fine soldiers. And never resolved. And today, there was a day that our enemy was on the run from us. But because of all these things that we've done, now we are once a nation that stood strong, and had clarity, that it wasn't double-minded. And I'll be talking about double-mindedness this week, but you have a double-minded nation who gets nothing from God, by the way. We're now in 19 cities across the Middle East, it's reported by CBN News, in the Middle East and North Africa, that we are having our embassies emptied out and the ambassadors are exiting for their lives. And that's our defensive mechanism. Run. It sounds like AI, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Remember AI after Jericho? And he's like, somebody's got my stuff. Right? Something's not right.
Yep.
And that's what God told Joshua. Something's not right. You know, it was working at Jericho, but it ain't working at AI. And now we're running. America is running. Listen, it's not for us to throw our chest out and say, what are you doing? It's for us to throw our knees down and go, dear God. What Joshua began to do, and it was a different day and a different time, and it was, you know, God's direct government set up. He said, start bringing everybody before me. After he got off his knees and going through the emotional, oh my goodness, it's not good. Start bringing everybody past me. All the families, all the men, all the women, all the children. And he was waiting for God to let him know who is the one that's done this. Because they were going to bring destruction. Who are the ones that done that, has done this? And eventually, God identifies one particular man. And his name was Achan. And he said, what did you do? And he said, well, you know, I just couldn't turn down the bribe. I couldn't turn down the pay. I couldn't turn down the union position. I couldn't turn down the promotion, the retirement, the house, the stuff, the things, the sex, whatever it was, you know, for today. But then it was a wedge of gold and a nice coat. And God says, that's mine. It's not yours. You shouldn't be touching that. You shouldn't be touching that. And he said, I couldn't resist it. So he took it to He took it to his bank. What am I talking about? Wait a minute. No, he took it to his house and he hid it. And he didn't tell anybody about it until God revealed it. But God knew it was there. God knows what's in your house. He knows what's in your walls. He knows what's in everywhere. And all of God's people were suffering because of the situation. And he had to deal with it. Because he said, if you don't deal with this, this is what God said. And this was God's plan. This was God's plan for his people to come into the promised land. Joshua was just doing what God had asked him to do. Joshua had done nothing wrong. And all of a sudden, he's saying, listen, if you don't deal with this, I, God, am leaving. I'm out of here. Did he not say that?
That's what he said.
I'm out of here. I'm leaving. I'm my hands are coming off America, and I'm gone. If you don't deal with this, if you don't deal with this situation, I mean, if he said that to Joshua, you don't think he would say that to America? And the problem is we're so integrated with darkness now. The fabric of our nation is so interwoven with darkness. To be able to bring this nation to a place of repentance would take a surgeon probably to begin to pull the threads out that are wrong. I mean, and I'm telling you, all things are possible with God. But the issue is God works through men.
Yeah.
Like he was working through Joshua. And he told Joshua this. He said, listen, if you don't deal with this, because somebody's got my stuff, you know, somebody did what I told them not to do, all you guys are going to suffer. And I'm going to leave. Now think about it. You're going to leave me, God? You're going to leave America?
Mm.
You're just going to leave? And there's a lot of people right now who's saying, that will never happen. God's got a covenant with America. Well, look, like he don't have a covenant with Israel?
Right.
Israel went through a time of deep discipline. So when he found out who it was, he found out what happened, he confronted them, then everything that was Achan's, the memories of him and everything was totally just, the earth split and swallowed him up.
Mm.
There was an outward sign of God's heart. So everybody had a fear of the Lord. So let's just don't disobey God. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take something like that. And I think about this football player that murdered the man up north.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a star at his college campus in Florida. And as soon as they saw what he did, they had like memorials for him prior to this happening. Memorial things. They had statues or stones in the ground, banners hanging, all this kind of stuff to just say he went here.
Mm-hmm.
They began to pull them down, dig them up, remove them. Every sign of him was being removed from that campus.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you something. You know, God could do that to America.
Oh, yeah.
We can be a bygone conversation. Do you remember Rome in its former days? Do you remember, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in a day, all of a sudden, God just puts a repulse in everybody's heart towards, and right now in the world, you know, America's not well thought of. Not well thought of at all in so many different places. And that can turn on us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That can turn on us. And so he dealt with it. And when he dealt with it, God gave them victory. Do we have the integrity and the fortitude to deal with it? Does the church have the fortitude to say, you know, we just got to stop this. Personally, we got to deal with it like David did when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, you know, and then he began to teach other people God's ways and say, this is how we're going to go. Joshua got off of his face and, you know, buried the folks that they lost and clothed the shame of the soldiers who were butt naked, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, do we have that kind of integrity? Do we have that kind of ability in the church today? Are we so independent and so prideful that we won't let anybody speak into our life today?
Mm.
Right? I mean, it takes great humility to allow a leader to rise up and say, this is which way we're going to go. You know, get that out of your house. Mm. Well, you can tell me what to do in this building, but you can't tell me what to do at my house.
Mm.
Now you're confronted. What are you going to do? Are you going to just say goodbye to God in his presence, in your church, in your ministry? Or are you going to say goodbye to Achan?
Mm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like I say, I'm just talking, you know, how it is. And it's like, it's going to take somebody who's willing to make some real tough decisions to say, you know, this is the way of the Lord. Let's walk in it. Let's go in this way. And a double-minded man gets nothing from God, and an unclear sound people will not follow. If you are not leading your home, if you're not leading your business, that you say is a Christian business, if you're not leading, you know, your church as a pastor, if you're not leading what God's called you to do with clarity, I mean, they're not going to follow. They're just not going to follow. But when you begin to lead it as clarity, with clarity, you're going to find out who wasn't following in the first place. And you got to be willing to let them go, because you don't want to give up the presence of God. Mm. You want God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You want God. Remember, it's all alone with you and God. At the end, you stand before his throne alone. We love others, and we minister to them. We help their needs be met, but we don't let them determine whether we're going to follow God or not. We follow God despite what people do.
Mm-hmm.
Despite what people do. And so here we are, our 19 embassies and 19 cities in the Middle East and North Africa. We presently have our State Department closing them down because they are fearful of Al-Qaeda terrorists having a major attack on U.S. officials. And so we're running for our lives, reported by CBN News today.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.